Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, when the Lord delivered Gajendra, king of the elephants, all the demigods, sages and Gandharvas, headed by Brahma and Shiva, praised this activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and showered flowers upon both the Lord and Gajendra. Shall we repeat the verse together? Yeah? So it sticks. Please kindly repeat after me. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, when the Lord delivered Gajendra, king of the elephants, all the demigods, sages and Gandharvas, headed by Brahma and Shiva, praise this activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and showered flowers upon both the Lord and Gajendra. Purport. It is evident from this chapter that that great sages like Devala Rishi, Narada Muni and Agastya Muni will sometimes curse someone. The curse of such a personality, however, is in fact a benediction. Both the crocodile, who had been a Gandharva in his previous life, and Gajendra, who had been a king named Indradyumna, were cursed, but both of them benefited. Indradyumna, in his birth as an elephant, attained salvation and became a personal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha, and the crocodile regained his status as a Gandharva. We find evidence in many places that the curse of a great saint or devotee is not a curse but a benediction. The verse again. Shri Shuku Vacha Tadad Devarshi Gandharva Brahmeshana Purogamaha Mumuchuh Kusumasaram Samshamsanta Karma Tadharihi. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, when the Lord delivered Gajendra, king of the elephants, all the demigods, sages and Gandharvas, headed by Brahma and Shiva, praised this activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and showered flowers upon both the Lord and Gajendra. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Tharanam. So this is the beginning of a new chapter. There's quite a few chapters dedicated to this story of Gajendra Mokshana, because it's a very significant story. You know, there's different subjects, main topics that are being discussed in the Bhagavatam. And we see here the protection of the Lord being nicely illustrated, and the mercy and protection of the Lord. This is a descriptive verse which opens up the chapter with a very short purport, and I was given that specific verse to speak on, so I'll try to say as much as I can and as much as I could think of by reading Prabhupada's purport. I think the most important point in this verse is the nature of the Lord's devotees' activities, namely the great sages. Because here we see two instances of someone being cursed. And then both the elephant and the crocodile were then delivered by the Supreme Lord in a different way, but both of them were benefited. Now, the topic of curses is quite prominent in the Shastras. I would like to ask the audience to exercise their brain cells and think of some other instances of curses that are in the Bhagavatam, just briefly mentioned. You can make reference to other stories like that. Yes, Prabhu. Premarnava Prabhu. Which one are you thinking of? Okay. Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, the sons of Kuvera. Very good one, yes. They also got cursed by Narada Muni. Other instances? Yes, Yamuna Priya Mataji. Maharaj Parikshit, yes. That's probably the most prominent one discussed at length. Any other instances? King Nriga. It wasn't really a curse. It was his karma for his offense, basically. But it's a good proposal. Thank you. Any other suggestions? Yes, Prabhu? The curse of Daksha, yes. He got the head of a goat. Okay. And who cursed Daksha? Oh, Daksha cursing. Well, he also got cursed. Yes. The story of Daksha, yes. Any other stories? Yes? Maharaj Chitraketu? Okay. Okay. All right. Yes, Mataji? Gandhari cursed Krishna, yes. Can you tell us more about that story? Okay. It was one hunter. Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. Interesting incident. Yes. Yes, Prabhu. Jaya and Vijaya being cursed. Yes. The doorkeepers of the spiritual world. Yes, Prabhu. You had the same one? Any curses in Krishna Lila? Specifically? More curses? Well, we heard about Krishna being cursed, but yes. Yes, Bhishma was cursed. Well, more prominent about Bhishma is that he was blessed. He would not die. And his death was caused by the vengeance of, Ambika, yeah, one of the sisters. She was born as a eunuch, was it? Shikandi, yeah. Okay, thank you for your contribution. There's numerous instances of curses. I mean, there's a lesson that we can learn from that. And Prabhupada here finishes his purport by saying, we find evidence in many places that the curse of great saint or devotee is not a curse, but a benediction. So, there's different types of curses. Now, let us examine what it means that someone gets a curse. What's the opposite of curse? A blessing, yeah? So curse is usually occurs when someone becomes angry, right? And like in the case of this particular story, when King Huhu put pulled the leg of the Rishi, of Deval Rishi, the sage became angry and he cursed him to become a crocodile. So curses usually occur when someone becomes very angry. And I think in the Christian tradition, they usually, when they pronounce a curse, they say, Anathema. This is some kind of chant. So anyway, the curses are a very powerful thing. And we have to examine now what happened here. Because one thing about the curses that are spoken by great saints is that they're not ordinary curses. They're not like the curses of ordinary people. For one reason is because the sages, they are free from lust, anger, and greed. There's a very, very famous verse in Bhagavad Gita, Trividha Narakasyedam, Dvaram Nashanam Atmana, Kamak Krodah Tatha Lobas, Tasmat Etat Trayam Tyajet. There are three gates leading to this hell, lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. And in the purport to that verse from the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains that the persons who cultivate self-realization, who are striving for self-realization, they are free from anger. Usually anger is caused by false ego. And one very prominent example of curse which was caused by false ego is the curse that the Brahmana boy Sringi uttered, cursing Maharaj Parikshit. He became very angry because he was puffed up. And he became the cause of the degradation of the Brahmin class and the degradation in Kali Yuga as a whole. You know, the whole Kali Yuga became very prominent after that. Now the sages are free from, especially great sages, great saints. A saintly person is someone who is free from all these vices that are listed here, leading to hell. So how is it that the great sages actually become angry, apparently become angry, and curse someone? I will give you an example with a day-to-day life which illustrates the nature of the curse spoken by great sages. Sometimes when parents want to correct their children, they give punishment to their children. If the child does something wrong and the parent wants to teach the child, it's not that the parent gives him a chocolate or buys him some nice present. No, the parent punishes his child, but the punishment is not done out of anger. It's not done out of maliciousness, out of a vindictive, motives. But the parent punishes the child not because he wants to see the child suffer, but on the contrary, because he wants to correct the child. He wants to see that the child learns from that experience. So in one sense, the punishment of the parent is like inflicting suffering on the child. The child feels uncomfortable, but the parent's motives are completely for the benefit of the child. The parent wants to actually make sure that the child is properly trained. So ultimately, the motive of the parent is love. The parent loves his child or her child, and therefore they give that kind of punishment to their children. So the curses of great sages, similarly, are not done because of the anger and hatred of the sages, but they're done because of the sages' compassion and love for the people. So as we say, the sages, they don't like Mickey Mouse business. They don't like people doing strange, stupid things. They punish them for that. But they do it with the aim to correct those people and to actually benefit them. And in the case of Gajendra and Gandharva, the crocodile, we see that both of them got cursed by different sages. Now, when the sages curse, there's a specific quality of that curse. It's a hidden benediction. First of all, the sages, as we said, they don't become angry. And secondly, when they curse someone, ultimately that person gets the blessings of the Lord. And we see in the case of this story, Gajendra became liberated, and also the crocodile became liberated. They got both benefited by the Lord. So we see that actually the curse that these two personalities received from the sages were ultimately meant for them to get the darshan of the Lord. And that's wonderful. I will read few instances of curses and then we can discuss them. I was just browsing through Prabhupada's books, trying to find examples of different curses. But one interesting thing which is worth mentioning is, or very, very important to mention, is that as devotees, because we always look for the relevance of things that we read in the Bhagavatam, in Prabhupada's books, well, how does it actually affect me? What is the lesson I can take? Because these are textbooks. We have to learn some lessons. So I personally feel that this story particularly teaches us how to accept reverses in our lives. Because sometimes things happen in our lives that are not very pleasant, and it seems that it's like a curse. We even think that someone has cursed us. Like recently, I underwent quite severe suffering. Spent 4 months in the hospital. Nearly died. You probably saw my picture here on the Prabhupada's altar. And in the beginning, I was very angry, actually. Thinking, why does Krishna punish me in this way? And I was even thinking, not me so much, but my wife was thinking that perhaps someone has cursed me. I've got some kind of black magic or something. Anyway, whatever. We went through that experience, and the lesson was that the apparent suffering and curses turned out to be the Lord's blessings, because now I'm much happier than before that experience. Much happier. So let's read some of those examples that I took. So here's one purport where Prabhupada speaks about that. Maharaj Parikshit, that's the curse of Maharaj Parikshit by the Brahman boy. Maharaj Parikshit, being especially attached to the Lord from the beginning of his body in the womb of his mother, was continuously under the shelter of the Lord, and the so-called warning of his death within 7 days from the date of the curse by the Brahmana's son was a boon to him to enable him to prepare himself to go back home, back to Godhead. Since he was always protected by the Lord, he could have avoided the effects of such a curse by the grace of the Lord, but he did not take such undue advantage for nothing. Rather, he made the best use of a bad bargain. For several days, continuously, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source And thus he got the shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord by that opportunity. So, as we see here, Maharaj Parikshit became the subject of the curse of a son of a Brahmana. And that curse was very powerful. However, Prabhupada explains that Maharaj Parikshit, being the king, was not subjected to that curse. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Sri Gornitai ki jai. Prabhupada explains in his purports that Maharaj Parikshit had the power to counteract this curse. He could have said, sorry, this curse is not going to work on me. But no, he accepted that curse as the Lord's blessings. And that curse led to his ultimate victory, because he left this mortal world and attained the lotus feet of the Lord. And here's a very nice example of how sometimes, very often actually, the Lord uses curses in order to enact his lila, in order to achieve something in his pastimes. The important point, this is a quote from the first canto, 15th chapter. The important point in this verse is how it was possible that Arjuna could be defeated by the gang of what's that word? No, it's a gang of ignoble. I'm not sure what that means. Cowherd man. The gang of ignoble cowherd man. Does anyone know what ignoble means? Oh, ignoble. Okay. It's the opposite of noble. Thank you. So a gang of ignoble cowherd men, and how such mundane cowherd men could touch the bodies of the wives of Lord Krishna, who were under the protection of Arjuna. You know that story. The background is Arjuna was entrusted the wives of Krishna after the battle of Kurukshetra and after the whole Yadu dynasty was destroyed. Arjuna was supposed to protect Krishna's wives, but then they were attacked. So Srila Vishwanath, and Arjuna couldn't do anything. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has justified the contradiction by research in the Vishnu Purana and Brahma Purana. In these Puranas, it is said that once the fair denizens of heaven pleased Ashtavakra Muni by their service and were blessed by the Muni to have the Supreme Lord as their husband. Ashtavakra Muni was curved in 8 joints of his body, and thus he used to move in a peculiar curved manner. The daughters of the demigods could not check their laughter upon seeing the movements of the Muni, and the Muni, being angry at them, cursed them that they would be kidnapped by rogues, even if they would get the Lord as their husband. Later on, the girls again satisfied the Muni by their prayers, and the Muni blessed them that they would regain their husband even after being robbed by the rogues. So in order to keep the words of the great Muni, the Lord himself kidnapped his wives from the protection of Arjuna. Otherwise, they would have at once vanished from the scene as soon as they were touched by the rogues. Besides that, some of the gopis who prayed to become wives of the Lord returned to their respective positions after their desire was fulfilled. After the departure of Lord Krishna, he wanted all his entourage back to Godhead, and they were called back under different conditions only. So this is how the Lord sometimes displays his lila. And apparent curses turned out to be his arrangement for the devotee to go back to him. And one more. This quote which I'm going to read now illustrates how we should accept the Lord, the Lord's arrangement as blessing, even though it may appear as a curse. The devotee of the Lord, this is a quote from First Canto, it's also in regard to Maharaj Parikshit. The devotee of the Lord, the devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. Purport. Rishi Shamika also knew that the Lord does not forgive a person who has committed an offense at the feet of a devotee. Shamika Rishi is the father of the Brahman who cursed Maharaj Parikshit. The Lord can only give direction to take shelter of the devotee. He thought within himself that if Maharaj Parikshit would counter-curse the boy, he might be saved. But he knew also that a pure devotee is callous about worldly advantages or reverses. As such, the devotees are never inclined to counteract personal defamation, curses, negligence, etc. As far as such things are concerned, in personal affairs, the devotees do not care for them. But in the case of their being performed against the Lord and His devotees, then the devotee take very strong action. It was a personal affair, and therefore Shamika Rishi knew that the king would not take counteraction. Thus, there was no alternative than to place an appeal to the Lord for the immature boy. It is not that only the Brahmanas are powerful enough to award curses or blessings upon the subordinates. The devotee of the Lord, even though he may be a Brahmana, is more powerful than a Brahmana. But a powerful devotee never misuses the power for personal benefit. Whatever power the devotee may have is always utilized in service towards the Lord and His devotees only. So this purport speaks very nicely of how the devotee humbly accepts the arrangement of the Lord. And even though he may be suffering in many ways, even to the extent that he may be killed, he still accepts that humbly. Another very nice story in that connection is the story of Maharaj Chitraketu. When he got cursed by Parvati, Lord Shiva's wife, she became angry because he was laughing at them. Maharaj Chitraketu accepted that in a very humble way. He accepted that curse in a very, very humble way. And in his next life, he became a demon. But despite that, it turned out that the whole arrangement was just to glorify him as a pure devotee. Because even in the body of a demon, he remained completely fixed in the service of his master. And one humorous incident with the curse, which also explains how the Lord sometimes uses these things. My dear sisters, this is the words of Lord Chaitanya to the young girls who are taking bath in the Ganges. My dear sisters, please give me all the offerings you have just brought for Lord Shiva. Actually, not taking bath, but who were worshipping Lord Shiva, pardon me. Lord Shiva is my devotee and Parvati is my maidservant. If you worship me, then Lord Shiva and all the other demigods will be more satisfied. And Prabhupada explained, some of them refuse to obey the naughty Lord and he would curse them that due to their refusal, they would be married to old men who had 7 children by their previous wives. Out of fear And sometimes out of love, the girls would also offer him various goods. And then the Lord would bless them and assure them that they would have very good young husbands and that they would be mothers of dozens of children. The blessings would enliven the girls, but they used often to complain of these incidents to their mothers. So this is a kind of humorous thing. The Lord is threatening the girls who did not want to worship him, that he would curse them to become married to a very old man who had 7 children before from his previous wives. Anyway, so the time is ticking, and it's a very nice subject. I'm sure we could say more things, but in conclusion, I would just say that as devotees, we should look at our lives' reverses, which are there, certainly, as the Lord's blessings. And certainly, we have to understand that the blessings, the curses of the great sages, especially, are to be accepted as a blessing, as a benediction. Because the activities of the great devotees are all auspicious. And why are they all auspicious? Because the Lord's activities are all auspicious. And we see in this incident of Gajendra being liberated that the activities of the Lord were so much praised by the demigods that they showered from heavens flowers. They were so pleased by the Lord. And what is the pleasing thing about these activities? Is that the Lord? They were very much assured of the Lord's protection and mercy. That's why the great demigods were overjoyed, because the Lord, whatever He does, it's for the ultimate benefit of everyone. So in that sense, even if we look at the lives of ordinary conditioned souls, which are full of suffering and curses and counter curses and like that, we can see that ultimately everything is meant for our benefit, and because the Lord is the supreme controller, and everything happens according to His plan. Ultimately, everything that happens in our lives is meant to teach us and to help us. So that's how we should look at these things. And I hope none of you gets a curse, especially by non-devotee, because it's not the same. Curse done out of anger is different. Usually, it's not very beneficial. So, count your blessings. And yeah, in our devotee, like day-to-day interactions and activities, exchanges, we can see that devotees who join the movement and who have very good attitude, very respectful, they get a lot of blessings. And you know, blessings and curses, they're not necessarily supposed to be noticed, in a sense that we may not know if someone's blessed us or cursed us. We usually find out later on by the effects of that. But if we are very humble and sincere and respectful to the Vaishnavas, we will certainly get a lot of blessings. And those blessings will propel us help us achieve the lotus feet of the Lord very quickly. But if we displease the devotees, they will certainly bless us even then, but we might have to undergo some tribulations. Just because we displease them, we might be punished lovingly by them, as sometimes parents would punish their children. So this is all I had to say about this purport and verse. And if you want to make a comment, or someone wants to ask a question, now is the time. We've got a few minutes left.